Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you, God. There is no one like you. There's none else beside you, Father. God, we lift up your name in this place. We lift up your name in our lives, oh God, in things that we do, God. We lift up your name and we glorify it, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There's no escaping. I was downstairs earlier, and Elder Nick told me, "Can you take 5 minutes?" Sure. I don't know what, but it's something that's been on my mind or in my heart, whatever. I felt it maybe I think Wednesday last week when I was driving. My wife was telling me about it, her feelings about her parents, you know, moving back to the Philippines. It's like something that she's been leaning on. You guys ever felt that? Something that we lean on, sometimes some things that we trust on much and we lean on a lot, and all of a sudden just was removed, and then you've got nothing to lean on, to trust or to talk or to call anymore. And that Wednesday morning as I was driving, I felt it. I felt what my wife was feeling. Like, huh, that's what she was feeling. It's like something just, it's like was removed from you that you've been leaning on. You know, and I felt it. And when my father-in-law left, I didn't feel as much. And then when my mother-in-law left, I was like, huh, that's, they were the one that we've been leaning on most of the times when we were in church, when we got married and you know, we were in church. They were our spirit, not just our physical parents, but our spiritual parents as well, that we've been leaning on, that we could come to anytime if we need help, if we need someone to talk to or advice, we could come to them. And as I was driving, I was like, yeah, now it's like, feel like the Lord has just took that away from us, and now we're like, where are we going to lean to now? And I was reminded of the scripture in Proverbs that it says, trust in the Lord with all your understanding, lean not, or trust in the Lord. How that goes? I'm sorry. Let me just, so I won't misquote that. Where are you? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all thine heart, and lean not in thy own understanding. I mean, sometimes we lean on to things so much, you know, that we trust in that we so much, you know, and all of a sudden, the Lord just remove it from you, and then where do we lean on now? But as the word of the Lord says, lean, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, with all our heart, with all our being, with all our might, with everything that we have. Lean not in our own understanding or anything that we, temporary that we lean on. You know, this thing we can lean on, it's just a temporary thing. But trusting in the Lord with all our heart and leaning not in our own understanding. I mean, the Lord is a secure thing that we can always lean on. Amen. The Word of God is something that we can lean on every day of our lives. You know, I there's something I remembered way back years ago when I think Brother Nick was invited to speak in Kent. As he was done speaking, he came up to me in the chair, like, if I remember correctly, he said, read the word. It's like something about continue to read the word. And as I continue to read the word now, it gives me more different perspective. God gives me more insight of what God wants me to understand in his word. It's something that we can always lean on. The Word of God is there for us to lean on in times of trouble. If you want an answer, it's right there in front of you. All you got to do is open that book and lean on upon the Word of God. And the Word of God will give you instruction, will give you the understanding, will give you the answer that we seek for. Because sometimes, a lot of us, including myself, I tend to lean on in the things that I know, the things that I think it's right. You know, this flesh sometimes come in and kick in, and you know, all it does is, what do you call that? It has this device or this thing that just, what do you call that? I'm losing my word here. It kind of protects itself somewhat, right? We go into this mode where it leans on his own understanding instead of looking to the Word of God, instead of asking God for something. What should I do? What does the Word of God says? You know, instead of looking to that, and then we go into this mode and trying to fix things. And the flesh is tend to do that. The flesh tend to lean on his own understanding. As we know it, those understanding will not lead to something. It will lead to something else. Most of the time, it will just lead to wrong direction. Amen. Rather than leaning on the Word of God instead. Leaning on his direction. Leaning on his whatever understanding that God gives us through his word or through the inspiration or whatever it is that God's trying to lead us to. Amen. Now it's like when that happened, when a mother-in-law or my in-laws were gone, it was like I felt what my wife was feeling. I was like, man, what do we do now? But I believe I came to the conclusion that God removed these things away from you. Reason being is that he wants you to lean on him more. He wants you to trust on him more. And there's times God will remove these things and just trying to see what you will do at the moment. He want to see what your action or your motive is. Amen. Because most of the time our flesh tends to go its own way instead of going towards what God, leading us to God basically. Amen. So as a scripture that trusts on the Lord, let us trust on the Lord. With all thy heart, lean not in our own understanding. In verse 6 it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Amen. The path of God, whatever direction God has put us through. And I know for a fact, and I came to the conclusion to myself, God has took us from whatever we were at, brought us here today, because God has a direction and a path for each and every single one of us here today. God has something great that God is doing out there. God is preparing a people. And before he can prepare a people, God has to build this thing in us. God, we have to lean on God. We have to lean on the Lord. We have to lean on the word and the promises of God in our lives, in our walk with God. If we trust him that much, we should be sold out to what we say and what we declare to him. Amen. Let us not lean to our own knowledge and understanding. But more and more as we grow in faith, more and more as we grow in the knowledge and the understanding of who he is, let us lean on him. Amen. Let's praise the Lord right now. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you, Father.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We trust in you, Father. We lean not upon our own understanding, but we trust in you today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Why don't you stand for a moment and just talk to the Lord? He knows each of our frames. He knows our weaknesses. In the name of Jesus, Father, you know me. There's nothing hidden from you in me. You know what I lean upon. You know, Father, the things that I use. In lieu of you, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your spirit would continue to lead me, that I would continue to be put in situations where I trust you, that I lean not in my own understanding, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Brother Randy is talking about here today is growth. The Lord brings these things and he removes things at times in our lives in an effort to get us to grow. I'm not going to pick on you guys today, I promise. But you were in a really, really comfortable situation, right? It was comfortable. You had a good relationship with your in-laws. You guys could go to them anytime you wanted. And there were all these, just, it's not a bad thing. It's just comfortable. It becomes comfortable. They live close. They got, you know, and then all of a sudden God says, well, you know, well, I've got a plan for them. And I've got a plan for you. And their plan's 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, maybe 5,000, 6,000 miles away, and yours is 9 miles away. And then what do? Well, you throw a fit for a couple weeks, and then you let him begin to help you grow in him. You know, as long as I, and man, I'm as guilty as this, so don't think I got this figured out, but as long as I do everything for my kids all the time, they will never grow. We're finally to the place where I can sit on the bed when it's time to clean the room and be like, all right, now go put that over there. Now go put that over there. Now that goes there. You know, a year ago, I was cleaning it for them. And then I woke up one day and was like, wait a minute here. Something's wrong with this equation. We got to fix this now or I'm going to be cleaning my 16-year-old son's room and that ain't happening. There's growing that has to happen. In the process of him growing, I've got to step back. Hey, this is your turn now. You need to go clean your room. Now, I'll be here to assist you. I'll be here to point the way a little bit, but you got to grow up. Now, I'm not saying this beautiful couple is immature, but this is all of us. We all have things that we lean toward. It's just easier to lean on this because it's comfortable or it's easy. Boy, you take that away and we're like, whoa, 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 hold on here. I'm not ready for this. We talked a lot in the last few months about timing. You've got to trust the timing of God. And he knows what's best, and he knows what the plan is for us. I'm going to jump around a little bit today in the book of 1 Samuel. It was a few weeks ago, probably four to six weeks ago, the Lord inspired me one day to go to the book of 1 Samuel and begin to read it. And I went and opened it up and began to go through there, and I read it in depth. And there were some things about the life of David that had never really struck me before that just seemed to stick out. And I, as I was going through there, I just began to grab some scriptures here and there, scriptures that stood out to me, and put them aside and threw them into a file and just, you know, wow, that's interesting, that's interesting. And then one morning, one Sunday morning during music practice, I was in my office, and man, I just felt like I need to go back and open that up. And so I did and went back and started reading some more and grabbing some more stuff and putting it in there. And I really began to see some similarities in the process of David's life and the calling of God and the anointing of God that was upon David's life and our lives today, I believe. And, you know, one of the things that I just made a statement a second ago that we talk a lot about the timing of God. One of the things that it seems like the Lord leads us to communicate about often is his calling, his word, his voice in our lives, and what that means to each of us. And the process of time in between the word, the calling, the anointing, whatever it is that he gives us or whatever it is that we're holding on to today, and then the time that we see the fulfillment of that. Boy, there's dark days in between, aren't there? And so you look at that, and sometimes you can, let me say this before we move on. I believe that the Holy Ghost, that one of the most important things about this process is that if you ever give up on the word that God gave you, if you ever quit believing, if you ever lose faith in the thing that God spoke into your life and the thing that you received, what do you do? We talked a little bit on Wednesday night about the faith, the reason that the children of Israel didn't enter into the rest that God had promised them is because they didn't believe. And God gave up on them because of their unbelief. He wrote them off. Said, I had this for you. I wanted to give you this. Give it to you. You enter into it. I'll fight the battles for you. I'll cause you to be victorious. You just fight as I tell you to fight. And they didn't believe that he was able to do that. And so he said, all right, if you don't believe, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to shove this down your throat if you don't believe it. But if you do believe, I'll perform it. And if you trust me, I'll do exactly what it is that I said I would do. That's his word. And so in the process of our lives, if God's given us a word and we're walking in the path of that word, that anointing, that calling, the gifting that God's given us, and some point along the way we're like, you know what? This isn't going fast enough for me. This isn't moving at the pace I set for myself. You know, us goal setters, us overachievers in the room. This isn't moving at the pace that I thought it was going to be moving at. So, you know what? I'm going to go find a new plan. I'll get over here on this path. This is my path, Brother Randy. This is my understanding. I'm going to walk on this path. We'll see if God can catch up with me on that path over there. And we all wrestle with this. This is reality. And so when you look at David's life, jump to we're going to start in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and we'll start in verse 13. I want you to see something here. Now, I want you to think about the moment. I want you to remember the moment that God gave you a word. The moment that you realized someone spoke something over you. Maybe a man of God affirmed a word to you. There's a gifting. There's gifting's been imparted to you. There's things that have happened. You go back to that moment, and I mean, it was, I don't know if any of you had this moment right here. If you did, God bless you. You had a physical sign, and I'm, praise God. I didn't have this moment. Nobody took a horn of oil and dumped it over my head and said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, David. He's anointed you to be the king of Israel. I didn't have that moment. I had a private moment with God where I began to feel the drawing of his Spirit upon my heart. And I responded to it. I verbalized it to a man of God in my life. And I said, this is what I'm feeling for my life. And they said, well, you know, we'll just see what the process holds out. I was a teenager at the time. And so God began to work on me. And I was still a punk. And I still did ridiculous things. And people still wrote me off, and people still thought I was ridiculous and an idiot. But that didn't change the plan and purpose of God for me. His calling was without repentance. And as he began to open doors, he began to affirm to me through my operation of the giftings in my life that it was indeed him. I didn't have to guess whether it was the Lord or not, but it was confirmed to me. It was affirmed to me through the operation of that gift in my life. I would venture to say that there are many others in the room today who've had the same experience. You felt something. Somebody affirmed it to you. Somebody spoke something over you. Or maybe something that you felt, you went and spoke to a man of God or an individual in your life with spiritual oversight. And I said, yes, I can confirm that. I see that in you. That is the hand of God. That is the gifting of God. And so now you're excited. And then, you know, no opportunity comes for a while. But then one day somebody says, hey, I'd like you to sing a special. Or I'd like you to lead worship. Or I'd like you to take 5 minutes. Or I'd like you to testify. And man, you take the mic and all of a sudden the unction of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and it's the first time you've ever felt it, and you're like, what is this? And it just, the power of God begins to flow through you, and there's a witness in the body of Christ. People are like, where have they been hiding that guy? You understand that man can't produce that. Samuel only obeyed the Holy Ghost by pouring the horn of oil over the head. God picked the man. Oh, man, we need to pray right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, remove every preconceived idea I have. In the name of Jesus, loose me right now. Listen, you can't pick yourself. If it had been up to Samuel, he'd have picked somebody else. Because the first one who stood up before him, he said, ooh, that one I like. Please, Lord, this, nope. Oh, then it's got to be this one over here. You can't pick yourself. Man can't even select you. I've watched men try. I've watched men push people into position, push people into giftings that weren't given by God, but they tried their best to make that some young man, some young woman's gifting. And God said, that's great, that's fine, but that's not my choice. But when God makes a selection, when God says, this is the guy, it's not the guy you'd pick, it's not the guy your friends would pick, but this is the guy, and the man of God only has the responsibility of taking the horn of oil and pouring it over the head and saying, "This, you weren't my selection, but you're God's." And it was the horn of oil as it poured down David that was the affirmation to his brethren, whether they liked it or not, you're the man, David. The youngest, you're the dumbest, you're the shortest, you're the, what do the scripture call him, the rudiest of us all? You're a sheep farmer, David. We've all outgrown that, but you're still tending the sheep. I can't help any of that. God picked me. Somebody ought to lift your hands right now and speak to whatever voice has been in your ear, in your mind, in your spirit, and remind them, you can't help who you are. God picked you. Yes, I'm still growing in the process. I'm still growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, but I'm His selection. I'm His selection. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Something happened in a mere moment of time. It was a God-ordained moment, Brother Heiner. Something came over him. Like that. Halalaboso toroba kiataye. Hilarara mashita nararaba. I can't explain why he picks some people over others. I can't explain why sometimes folks got all kinds of talent and all kinds of ability, and they can be the greatest at things, and God seemingly passes them by. And pick some guy over here who just doesn't have it all put together, and he's rough around the edges and sometimes hard to even understand or get along with, and that's the guy? Did you make a mistake? That's who he picks. Did you know if you're in the room today, he's picked you? You're not here by accident today. He's chosen each and every one of us. He's gifted each and every one of us. He's called us. He's anointed us for this purpose, for this hour. He's not looking for another team. He's looking for the team he's got to believe. To believe, not walk in unbelief, but to believe the things that he's doing in you and through you are indeed him. He's filled you with his Spirit. He's gifted you. He's anointed you. I can't get away from two Sundays ago,
Bishop.
I can't do anything to earn this. This is the problem in Pentecost. This is the problem in Christianity, is that we think that if we go through this list that we can somehow earn this. If you take enough online classes and get your master's in divinity or a bachelor's in theology, that somehow you've got this figured out and you're qualified. I'm sorry, that's not the case. You can't earn this. I know people with masters in divinity that I wouldn't listen to for 5 minutes, and people that didn't graduate high school who the authority and the unction of God operate through, and you can sit and listen and receive ministry of them. I'm telling you, the vessel matters not to him. It's his choosing. We get so hung up in the qualifications. Well, I'm not this or I'm not that. He simply took a horn of oil and poured it on him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14. Now I want you to see the difference between 13 and 14. The Spirit of the Lord comes on one guy, and the Spirit of the Lord departs from another guy. But there was a trade-in. The Spirit of the Lord just didn't depart from him, but an evil spirit came upon him. Something happened in Saul. This is troubling. Saul was out looking for his father's lost donkeys one day when he stumbled upon Samuel. And the Lord told him, this is the guy I'm choosing. Boy, I didn't think we were going here today. The same type of moment. It wasn't the same setting. It wasn't the same scenario. But the same type of moment that we just witnessed with David was with Saul also. But through some actions and some things that transpired with Saul that seem so minute to us sometimes in our understanding. They seem so petty to us sometimes in our Christianity. Like, really? I mean, did he have to wait on you to offer a sacrifice? He's good at it. He knew what to do. He places the wood a little bit better than you do, Samuel. I'm just telling you, he's better at this. These are all the things in our humanity that we wrestle with. Like, really, God, you want this level of obedience? You want this level of submission to you, to your spirit? I'm not talking about to a man. I'm talking about a level of submission to the Spirit of God and to his leading, his word. Are you really going to take it that seriously, Lord, that you would remove your spirit off of Saul and not just remove him, but you would impart or allow an evil spirit to be imparted to him? Well, you read it. From the Lord. from that day forward, Saul became repulsed by David. Repulsed. Wanted to kill him. Can you imagine one day having the Spirit of God, being God's chosen, and the next day, a spirit overtakes you where you can't even stand someone whom the Spirit of God rests upon moving forward. You talk about a flip. I want to read a couple more verses to you. 1 Samuel 17:15. I'm not going to read all the scriptures in between, but if you keep reading chapter 16, you know, they tell, hey, Saul, go get David, you know. Let him play his harp. I hear that when he plays his harp, that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord moves in because, you know, he's anointed. Well, he can't play the harp. He's the king now. Oh, no, bring him in to play the harp. The power, the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord's upon him. Whatever he sets his hand to, the anointing of the Lord's upon him. He'd begin to play his harp, and those evil spirits that haunted Saul would begin to depart. But you know the story. Saul's so repulsed. He's so angry with David and his spirit, and their spirits are in such a collision. There's so much colliding between David's spirit and Saul's spirit. I don't even know if Saul knew what he was doing, but he reached up and grabbed his spear and tried to kill David. And by the anointing and the Spirit of God, David was able to get out of the way. As I began to read this, I just couldn't believe. I was trying to be young David for a moment. Just a boy. A teenager. Had this moment with God where oil was flowing over him. I called from the sheep. Just humor me for a minute. We did some work with the cows last night. When we got done, we were all standing out in the driveway looking around, and all of us had some mess on ourselves. David came straight from the sheep. He was probably dusty. He was probably dirty. He probably had some mess on himself. And he's standing in this room with all of his brethren. They're all put together because the priest had come to the house that day. They had their, you know, they had their Ralph Lauren cologne on and their Neiman Marcus suit and their Versace shoes, and they were set. Here's David. He called me. Anybody watching the sheep? He'd thrown some alfalfa that morning, had some stuck in his hair, you know. Didn't realize it. Went to a meeting, shows up at this place, and there's hay in his hair. And the next thing you know is there's a horn of oil being poured over him, and it's running down him. And I can't even begin to imagine what David felt in that moment as the Spirit of the Lord set upon him. And man, alive. And then this guy who's supposed to be his mentor is throwing javelins at him, spears at him, afraid for his life. He leaves in chapter 17, verse 15. David went out and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he gets called to the palace. Oh, this is it. I'm going, this is it. This is my exit. The Lord uses him to bring peace into the king's palace. And then all of a sudden, the javelin comes. He runs for his life, and now he's back out feeding sheep. Wow, this wasn't what I had planned. What happened to the horn of oil? What happened to that experience back at Dad's house? I'm feeding sheep again. And then you know the rest of the story. 1 Samuel 17:57-58. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." Wait a minute. I thought you knew him. Who are you? I mean, can you, just 2019, okay? Can we just jump ahead to 2019? You haven't seen my Instagram account? Hello, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember the horn? I posted a picture of the horn of oil being poured over me. You don't know me? I Facebook Live that. I thought you were one of my followers. Who are you? Seriously? Who are you? I'm God's anointed, you fool. No, he goes, oh, I'm the son of your servant, Jesse. I mean, these are the things that drive us batty in our humanity. As we strive for this thing in our flesh, as we strive for this thing that we believe God has gifted us in or called us to or anointed us for, as we strive, and God's like, go back to the sheep for a while. I'm going to read a couple more verses and I'm done. Jump to chapter 18 and verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Now he's permanently with Saul. Jump to verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Scared Saul, what he began to see in David. But it wasn't over yet. Jump to 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants, that they should kill David. I'm just talking about the process of time that we live in. This was a span of a few years for a young man. A span of a few years from the anointing of God, the Spirit of the Lord being upon him, to what started a season of time where David began to run for his life. Still anointed. Still called. Still empowered. Spirit of the Lord is still upon him. But David is every day fighting for his life. And I'm telling you today, in the room there are people, while not physically but spiritually, have the hand of God upon their lives. They're anointed of God. They're gifted by God. And they find themselves spiritually every day fighting for their spiritual lives. Temptation, all the things that war against us, fiery darts of the wicked one that we try to fend off on a daily basis. And sometimes we fail and they get past our armor and they stick in our head and we begin to think about a thought. We entertain a thought for a moment of time and we're going, wait a minute. Where's the power of God? Where's the anointing of God at? I thought you called me. I thought you gifted me. Why am I still battling all this stuff? We don't have time today, but here's a homework assignment. Go read the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and go read at the devastation that David faced. How many years? It was somewhere around 15 years, 16 years that he ran and he was king of Judah. But then there was this whole other sector that remained loyal to Saul, and they were at war and running from each other and all of these things. Meanwhile, the hand of God was still upon David. You want to talk about confusion? You want to talk about not knowing what to do? Go read it for yourself. I read it and, my goodness. Then you ask yourself, how would I respond to this? What would be my response to the Lord about this? I want us to pray right now. Talk to the Lord right now. Some of us have a lot of things to talk to him about. Some of us have a lot of questions for him. Why? Why? Trust him. Put your confidence in him right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I recognize that this is your choosing. I first acknowledge, Father, that this is your choosing. This wasn't my own choosing. This wasn't the choosing of men, but Father, this was your choosing. I didn't pick this. I didn't get to decide what I wanted to do in life. Oh, yeah, you did. You had a voice in it. No, all I got to say was yes or no. I said yes. It's not easy. Some days, I wish, I'm speaking for all of us here, okay? Some days it'd be easier just to do something else. It'd be easier on my family, it'd be easier on my kids. I wouldn't have to watch the enemy attack them to get to me. See, the older I get in Christ and the older I get in age, the smarter I get concerning the attack of the enemy and the wiles of the devil, as the scripture calls it. He ain't doing, come on. Really? You going to try to put that in my spirit? But then he comes after my kids. Now you got my attention. Hello. I give up. I don't want to do this. This is what? No. Trying to help somebody today. This isn't easy. This isn't a walk in the park. But he gives us the grace. He gives us the mercy. And it's his spirit that is upon us. This isn't my choosing. It's his. And when he chooses, he empowers. When he gives grace. Quit trying to do it on your own. Quit trying to figure it out with your own understanding. Trust him. When I yield to him, when I yield myself to him, he can then give me the grace that I need to overcome, to live victorious, to do what it is that he's asking me to do. He didn't call me, he didn't anoint me, he didn't empower me, and then say, now go figure it out on your own. No, that's my way. That's how I choose to handle it. That's not his plan. Why don't you stand together right now? This altar's open today if you'd like to come and talk to the Lord. Would you come receive his grace if you need it? Come receive mercy if you need it. He'll give you strength, and you can lean upon him. You can trust him today. Jesus. Stand and sing this together.
Oh, the storm rages on.
time. Sing still I.
Still I will trust you. Still.
Thank you, Jesus.
To your every calling, though the storm rages on, and I can't find my way, still I will trust you.
A special token today for each mother that you will receive as you leave today. So please don't leave until you have that. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. We'll see you back here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for prayer and Bible study.